I'm talking with Leif Ogard, who has a quite fascinating story about his experience with the symptoms of Parkinson's. Welcome very much, Leif, for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Now, your story is so fascinating. You have actually written a book about your experience. Tell us some about what that's been all about.
Well, I made the most of the mistakes possible, and the worst mistakes also. In the beginning, and I had a very bad time to start with. I got a prognosis that the doctor told me I had Parkinson's, and he also told me that I should be wheelchair bound, meaning that I shouldn't be able to move myself, my body, without help of a wheelchair. Within the next 5 years, at the latest. So that was a really bad start, because I was raised on the Swedish West Coast in a fishing family where authorities was the one listened to and was learned to obey from the beginning. So I took that message to myself and made it my own. Absolutely unconsciously. I didn't know about it, but what I understand afterwards happened. So after 3 months after that visit at the doctor's at the hospital, I couldn't move my left arm. It was completely lame. I probably had made it in less than 5 years if I had been allowed to go on. But I was saved by a miracle. And the miracle was my wife. She refused to accept that it was going so fast after I'd been at that visit to the doctor. I was getting much worse shape than after the visit than before. She figured out that there was something weird about that. One day she was challenging me on the I thought was a very tough way, and she told me she didn't believe that I couldn't move my arm. She said it was not okay, not right. And I got so angry, so I couldn't do control myself, and I started to shout and made gestures with my arm, even my left arm, that which I couldn't move seconds before that. And so she said, now you can move the left arm. And obviously I could, embarrassing, I didn't know what to do, what to say. How on earth could it be that I, seconds earlier, it was impossible for me to move the arm. Now, when the feelings took over, I couldn't move it. That's where change started, that magic moment. I realized that I had taken the message from my doctor, put it into my head, and made it my goal to be wheelchair bound within 5 years or earlier. That was the beginning.
Well, that's quite fascinating, I want to say. And so you decided you weren't going to accept that channel, and you're going to use another channel.
Yeah, that's right. And it took some time. It's easy to say afterwards that I've done that and that and that, but it was a struggle. One philosopher said, life can only be lived forwards and understood backwards. That's what I, after some time, did realize that there's a tremendous, my own thoughts, could I steer them? Yes, after a while I realized and I decided for myself that I could steer my thoughts. And that way I could also start to take control over my own situation. But it took some time. It took Yeah. Between 2 and 7 years. All the most important things were took a long time. And one of the worst things I did was that I denied it. I denied my disease. I denied my situation. And I didn't tell anyone. I didn't even tell my daughters that I had Parkinson. After 7 years. That was what took the longest time of all the questions I fought with. And that was really a disaster. So if anyone is having any questions, if you should tell your environment about having Parkinson's or any other disease or problems, I have only one answer. Do tell them as soon as possible, and as frank as it is possible to do it. You're just going to more and more problems if you start faking, lying, and I wasn't trustworthy, even to myself, I think, at the end. And one of my daughters, it took 3 years to repair that after she had got the signal from me that I had Parkinson. And I haven't told her.
So she was angry about the fact that you hadn't told her? Is that what you're saying?
And from my side, I thought I was nice to her, not telling her about the problems.
But just the reverse. She was she was quite upset that you hadn't told her about what was really going on.
As you can see now on the video, I have an overreaction. Big problems to control my body at the moment, and that's very disturbing. But that's how it is. Between the these moments of which comes to the engagement now in this interview, of course, I live a good life. I can control my body, and it works beautifully. I can do a lot of sports and exercises. And then, on the other end, when I'm off, I have problems to move at all. And that's difficult to understand when I'm moving like this.
You made a huge transformation of your own thinking about what was going on. And you mentioned that it took really a number of years for you to shift from this negative thinking about what was going on to a very different kind of a thought form approach. What did you do to make that transformation other than start telling people what was going on? Did you have affirmations? Did you get some therapies from one person or another? What did you do to help you be able to transform your thinking about what was going on?
I was lucky to start at about the same time I got the diagnosis, was that I started mental training, concentration. I took a distance video or course at a university level here in Sweden for Lars Erik Unestål, professor from Örebro in Sweden. And that was really a tool that helped me a lot. And when I got that basic as a tool, and I tried to meditate at least once a day, and I had done that for most of the 7,787 days I have had Parkinson's since I got the diagnosis. 7,787 days. Then one other important thing I found out was that I had to have knowledge. The doctor who gave me the information about Parkinson's didn't say anything more than I should be a progressing, be worse and worse until I get into the wheelchair and etc. He didn't give any hope. He didn't tell anything about what it was. The scientists were working on finding more things and getting closer to the for the final solution. So I started to find information and knowledge about functions. And the major source was the internet, where I was surfing and finding and asking questions and so on. And curiosity. I wanted to know information so I could take decisions myself. For example, which medicine and how much medicine. That's my medicine bell that was calling. Dopamine, which is the single substance that is lacking in my brain, and I produce too little of, is one of about 300 signal substances in the brain. One out of 300. Let's say it had been 300 exactly. In that case, one is misfunctioning. But for heaven's sake, one out of 299 isn't working. Am I sick or am I healthy then? I'm thinking about all the other functions in my body that is working. So to my opinion, I'm more healthy than sick. From that day on, I started to look upon myself as healthy instead of sick. And that was a tremendous change in quality of life. And I found out that I was healthy instead of sick.
That's beautifully said, I must say. Absolutely beautifully said. Leif, I want to ask you to go back. There was a little interruption in your explanation of the course that you took in Sweden. Could you tell us once again what the course was? There may be people who'd like to learn more about that course. So what it was, how long it takes to take the course, et cetera, et cetera.
At that time, in the Swedish university, Brown's University in Örebro, given by Lars-Erik Unestål, professor.
And so is this course currently offered to people, or was that just a one-time event?
No, it's still offered.
You're listening to my interview with Leif Olgaard. This is Robert Rogers from Parkinson's Recovery. You've just heard the first segment of the interview. Author of I Have Parkinson's, But Parkinson's Does Not Have Me.
Tell us, if you could please, about your symptoms and if they've changed over the course of your Parkinson's.
Yes, they've changed substantially. And in the first years, I don't remember very much, but I started with levodopa, which is a pre-stadium for dopamine, single substance that is lacking brain. The scientists found it out in the 80s, 90s, and we got a Swede, Mr. Carlson, who got the Nobel Prize in medicine for that year, 2000. That is my basic medicine, levodopa, and it's in a brand called Madopark. I don't know if you have that in the U.S., but anyway, it's levodopa. Then I've added medicine that is hindering the body from its natural reaction when it comes in material or substances from outside. It reacts and tries to hinder it to go into the body. When I take these pills of levodopa, it goes to the stomach and it is taken up by the blood and transported and transformed to dopamine up in the brain. It takes about 45 minutes before that starts. So, and that together with other restrictions, what I can eat and when I can eat, how much I will have in the evening and in the night and in the day. It took a long time for me to figure out which was the optimal dose. And I'm still working on it after 7,787 days. And I can tell you that for the last 6 years, I have decreased my volume of medicines with 10% about. So I, from time to time, I go in and measure in a very specific and very defined way how much medicine I take, which, how the body is reacting, what type of food I eat, and when I eat, what exercise I do, etc., etc. So I get a complete scan of the situation. And then I evaluate it and see if I go better or worse, or what I could think of solutions for making it better. Then I go to my...
So you monitor?
Yes.
You are monitoring yourself continuously about how much medicine you actually need, then. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes, that's all right. Who else can do it?
And you are all... You also said, just to be absolutely clear, that you're taking less medicine now than you were in the beginning. Did I understand that correctly?
No, not in the beginning. It's, I haven't decreased since the start, but it was, medicine was climbing up gradually up till the year of, 6 years back, we are in the year 15 then, after the diagnosis. Then I got this medicine that is hindering my body from anti-reactions. And then I could lower my intake of medicines with 50%. But we take from that level on about 1,100 milligrams per day. I have been able to decrease it in the last, for the last 6 years, with about 10%.
For people who are not good at math, how many years have you had Parkinson's?
21 years.
What types of things do you do to get relief from your symptoms?
Well, to be physically and mental active is number one question. You have to do exercise every day on mental training and on physical training. You must get your body fight against the second effects, second degree effects of Parkinson. The basic of Parkinson is shaking and problems with starting and rigidity in the body. That in its case gives complications on the body. If you don't fight against it, you can get back problems with the spinal system. You can get uneven as the Parkinson mostly, in the most of the cases, are more dominant on one side than the other. I mean, it's the left side that is more dominant, affected. That if I don't train physically about that, against that, I will be probably leaning too much to the right or to the left, because the muscles, they want to even the thing that is not okay out, and you get getting more and more problems with the body, an aching back. Or
tell us about your exercise program. Do you exercise every single day, and how, and what do you do to exercise?
Yes, I exercise every day, and that's important. One of my favorites is the ping pong or table tennis. It's an excellent sport for to train balance, reaction, and gymnastics, and yeah, takes whole body. So I play tennis, table tennis, with my neighbor, normally 3 or 4 or 5 days a week. We play 10 sets, very hard, very tough, very, a lot of laughs and having fun.
That sounds great fun.
Then I do bowling once a week, meet friends who has Parkinson. I have my bow that I'm shooting arrows, what you call it, archery, I think.
In your yard?
Yes.
At home?
And
then when you say bowling, when you say bowling, just to be clear, since you are in Sweden and the United States, in bowling, we go to bowling alleys and they have pins and we throw the ball at the pins. Is that the kind of bowling that you do? So you're bowling with other individuals who have the symptoms of Parkinson's. And then the archery is also a physical activity that's a regular activity for you.
Yes, I probably try to do it every day. And the first thing I did today when I arrived here to Dalarna, which is our summer place now, we arrived today, I took my bow out, mounted it, and shot one arrow, and I made a 10-1 at the first hit.
You have arrived at the right point.
Concentration and to get in harmony with the body, relaxing.
That's right. A lot of centeredness, a lot of clarity. That's really awesome.
Then I try to exercise by walking on the beach or any other natural activities. And then I play golf, of course.
Ah!
I have a wonderful, in the wintertime or the rest of the year when we are not in the summer house, we have a 9-hole club, a course, a 9-hole course, just 10 minutes from where I live. And it's not that many people there, so I can go out whenever I want. And it's wonderful. Normally, that would be around 1 or 2 or 3 times a week.
Did I also understand you to say that your exercise also involved challenges to the mind?
Yes.
As well as the body?
Yes, I tried to make some Sudoku, of course, an hour a day. Then I do mental training. Relaxing. But my latest challenge is to try to get control over the tremors, the overreaction I had early in the interview, where I try to get by training, breathing, and a mantra, try to conquer that overreaction so I can calm my body down and get in control and be the one who decides what the body's going to do and not being out of control as you saw on the video in the beginning.
You found that by doing those exercises, you are able to then address the problems of the tremors.
I'm about to find out how to conquer or to win against Parkinson when it's about this overreaction. And I have a personal trainer in body knowledge, they call it, who has taught me how to do. And more and more often, I can handle it, which feels very good.
That is so cool. So for listeners, this is a recorded interview, and at the beginning, I was actually able to see Leif, although he's in Sweden and I'm in Olympia, Washington in the USA. I could see that movements, the dyskinesia, and some of the tremoring was a bit bothersome. So we took a break, and it's been about, 20 minutes or so since that. And basically then what you did was you were able to go into this series of mental exercises and be able to resolve what was a really flaring for you at the moment.
That's
and now
right.
You're just much better. Is that right?
Yes.
That is so cool. Now how long does it take for you to be able to sort of settle in and resolve the tremoring and the dyskinesia? Does it take a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Does it depend on the situation?
I should say 5 minutes, a couple of minutes, plus or minus.
Wow. Can you give people lessons?
I go on the sea and sit there shaking and I try to make my noises and breathe, and then after 5 minutes I'm completely calm. And the body still.
And do you have a specific focus that you give when you breathe? Do you count? Do you just focus on the air coming in and out, or more so on the air going out, or do you just
pay attention
to the breathing?
To the basic systems in the spinal systems. So I can sit with the spinal right straight and try to get natural muscles that keep the body up, being in action, and the ones that try to bend the body back to when we were born, as an egg, try to relax those muscles and just be by the natural muscle systems.
And by Jove, it works.
Yes,
that's what's so cool.
Do you see me now, by the way?
No, I'm not able to see you right now. I don't know why, but I don't see the picture of you on the screen. But I can hear just in the way you're talking that all that's resolved just by virtue of the meditation that you did. That is just so remarkable. So many people will be inspired by your story of just what happened here in the last 30 minutes, Lee. Tell us more about other things that you do, for example, diet and eating. Are you attentive to what you eat?
Yes, I take medicine, and this is a medicine I take. It's not true for every medicine. But when I take levodopa, you must be especially aware of the fact that protein has the same way up into the blood system. It's taken up, and it's faster, and it... really shuts the door for the medicine. So there is a big no for eating and taking a medicine at the same time. Then the medicine doesn't work. So I must take the medicine at least 30 minutes before I eat. And I should minimize my intake of protein in the daytime. And I have to eat that in the night instead to get enough protein to my body. So I take it late evening, then I take a big beef. And
I wanted to ask you a question about support groups, groups that help you be able to do the kinds of things that are needed to be able to feel good. Do you attend a regular Parkinson's support group in Sweden?
Yeah.
Ah, that's what I thought. That is your support group, then. You meet together and you go bowling.
I've been active in the...
How did you find each other?
For Swedish Parkinson Association and the local Parkinson Association a couple of years ago. So I have quite a good network of people. But we don't meet people I care about most, really, at the moment. And that is the newly diagnosed, because... that's the one I would like to make more for, because I have such a lot of experience that I could make the life much easier for them. That's why I'm also eager to sell my book, because that could make life much more easier than if not. Actually, I wrote that book, it was my thought to write the book. I wanted someone had written to me for 15 years ago when I was newly diagnosed.
Tell us more about the book. What's the title
of
the book?
In English, it's the same as my credo. That is, I have Parkinson, but Parkinson doesn't have me. That's a wonderful one. Sentence.
Ah, that's a wonderful.
Everyone who would like it, please use it, because it's not mine. And it gives such a lot of strength that to repeat that in first thing in the morning, and think about it and say, now I know it's a new day. It's going to be a wonderful day. At the same time, I would like to mention that I never go out of the bed before I have lost. So I I gave up a good laugh before I get out of bed. And in the beginning, my wife was very curious about what I did.
It's a part of your routine. Now, did I understand you do this when you first wake up in the morning, or
when
just
I
before you go to
in
bed
morning.
At night? Is it which part of the day is it? in the morning. So it's basically one of your first activities is to find a good way to laugh a long way. It's a great dopamine shot.
Yes, yes and no. You have the choice every morning to say yes and no to life. I used to say yes.
So for individuals who are newly diagnosed, what would you like them most to hear about Parkinson's?
I would like to give them the fact that in solving the problem with very good medicines, and there's no reason for being drowned in sorrow and fear, because you can do a lot of things yourself. I'm quite convinced that having Parkinson, compared with what this doctor says normally, that you're going to meet, you can avoid 2/3 of that by own exercise mentally and physically every day, and taking the command, being convinced that you can have the situation and feel happy and feel healthy. Don't accept the things that they say that you are so bad and not healthy. Believe in yourself. And go forwards. Everything will be better tomorrow than today.
Ah, that's
and
great. Not worse, but better.
I think that my quality of life.
I love your ability to frame things in a positive way.
I started my own company. I did vice versa to everybody else that's getting sick. I've never made such a lot of money that I've done since I got Parkinson. I've built my dream house.
That's great. So the people thought they were going to get worse, did get worse,
yes,
but
did.
You thought you were going to get better, and by Jove, you did get better. And not only that, but you've made a ton of money.
I think every day I started
that's
remarkable.
What is your company? What do you do in your business?
I started management consulting company. I was in the management consulting business, and we were a couple of friends that started our own company. And looking on the economy for accepting being sick or staying healthy, the tremendous difference in cost for society and for yourself. So it's just a win-win situation to be active and proactive and go on. Don't give it up. Fight. And it keeps you all strong. The best medicine I ever had is my work.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, it's been a true inspiration. What else do you want to be sure and say that we haven't talked about so far?
I think if I should try to give you, if I should give you my best advice, I would limit it to three advices. Be proactive. But I talked about as I started my own company, for example. To take full responsibility. That means that you don't allow anyone else to decide about you and your life and your body. If you don't know the answers of what you should decide, get information. Be stubborn not to accept what they say is must happen and must do. Be sure that it's true before you accept it. And take charge. And be solution-oriented, not problem-oriented. Solution-oriented. There are always solutions for any question, and there are always a good answer, a simple answer, if you work on it enough. Do believe in this, act on that, and you will have much higher quality of life.
You have been a true inspiration, Leif. I want you to know I'm talking to Leif Ogard. And for those of you that are interested in purchasing his book, his name is spelled L-E-I-F, and the last name is Ogard, O-G-A-R-D. And the title of his book is I Have Parkinson's, But Parkinson's Does Not Have Me, as is clearly obvious from my discussion with him today. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being able to be available to talk about your experience with Parkinson's after 21 long years, and the news that the truth is you're a lot better now than you were before, the miracle of what you've been able to accomplish. You are a true inspiration.
This is Robert Rogers from Parkinson's Recovery. I'm back live. You've been listening to my recorded interview with Leif Ogard, the author of I Have Parkinson's, But Parkinson's Does Not Have Me, a man who has had Parkinson's for 7,790 days or 21 years, who was told at the time of his diagnosis he would be in a wheelchair in 5 years. Instead of deciding that he was 1 over 300% sick, that he was 299 over 300 healthy, that he was actually very healthy and there was just an evidence of some imbalance in his body that he was going to actually do something about. It's quite a remarkable story. A man who has been proactive and who has started his own business, who is making tons of money. I interviewed him at his new home, his summer home that he had just arrived at the day before we did the interview. A man who recommends that everybody take full responsibility and that they be stubborn. A man who recommends that people with the symptoms of Parkinson's and their caretakers be solution-oriented rather than problem-oriented. With that combination, you can, too, be out shooting arrows, bowling, and golfing, and doing lots of fascinating and fun exercise routines every day, as well as doing mental challenges to keep yourself healthy, fit, happy, and well. I want to point out, if you missed it or if you've sort of been listening in and out to the interview, that he did point out that for his medications, he really asks his body each time how much medication he needs to take. Instead of having a regimented routine of how much to take, he really checks in to see how much he really needs, which is a recommendation that I first heard from John Coleman, who basically said, yeah, things are changing, circumstances change, we're under more stress in certain situations than others, and so oftentimes it's actually possible to reduce medications, particularly if you're under a low-stress day. And so that was quite fascinating for me. What I found, I want to say, just personally, to be most interesting was his report that his support group was to go bowling with other individuals who have the symptoms of Parkinson's every week. I have oftentimes heard individuals tell me that they're a bit disappointed with their support groups because people tend to hang around, sit around, and talk about problems that they've got with this or that, or maybe challenges with medications or healthcare providers or whatever. So it kind of that winds up being a low-frequency, complaining, depressing kind of an event. And many people tell me, well, they just really stop going because it's so depressing to them. His solution is, well, you basically get together and you go bowling and have loads of fun and obviously get a lot of exercise to boot. And that's the whole, that's just what that support group does. They go bowling. Not just once a month, but every week, which I thought was quite an amazing story, one that I actually haven't heard. He sent me a letter follow-up, and I actually want to read part of that to you because it gives a little bit extra information about his situation. So this is a letter, an email that he sent me just yesterday, a follow-up to the interview. And so this is what Leif says, quote, "The most important person in my life and in the fight with Parkinson's disease who is not getting the credit she is worth is my wife, Agneta. Without her support, I hadn't been where I am today, that's for sure. As you can see in one of the first pages of the book, it is dedicated to her for her heroic support. I have 1,003 more things to say," but he did have a lot of fun during the actual interview. He also points out his ability to be able to control his body challenges that were he was experiencing during the first part of the interview. So that was a remarkable experience for me, who in the very beginning hear some challenges he was having with being able to stay with the interview, and then all of a sudden that was quickly resolved by his ability to go into his meditation that he was practicing on. That's his new challenge. Obviously, it's not a smooth story. He's not saying in the very beginning he had things figured out. In the interview, he's very clear that it was really 7 years of really tough struggling there in the very beginning and doubting, being, I think, what I gathered was pretty depressed about his situation. And then basically he was able to turn his situation around through all the steps that he actually took. So it's, I want to say, a quite remarkable and amazing story of his own way of being able to address the symptoms that he actually has. And I think one of the keys to being able to maintain a program of recovery is to sustain commitment to experiment. And so if you're a person who's out there experimenting and is hopeful that, in fact, things are going to get better, they will get better. That's what we know from my interviews with many, many individuals out there who have the symptoms of Parkinson's. So I want to say thank you very much for joining me for this quite fascinating and engaging interview with Leif Ogard, the author of I Have Parkinson's, But Parkinson's Does Not Have Me. I hope you will order his book and benefit from his experience of 21 years of having Parkinson's, or 7,790 days now. And that's what's happening on the shores of the Puget Sound, where all the women are smart, all the men are handsome, and all the children are truly loved. No, by virtue of the fact that you are listening to this Parkinson's Recovery Internet radio program, that you are on the road to recovery. Good day.